There's an online comedy sketch featuring actor John Cleese. He's stuck in a massive traffic jam.
Must you honk? I mean, is it really necessary? Does it accomplish anything?
Turns out it does. The other cars magically disappear.
I'm 1, 2, 3,
fantasy? Sure. But here in the Northwest, even the part about laying on the horn doesn't ring true. It's something Pam Duncan noticed right away when she moved to Tacoma from Cleveland. She'd drive on I-5, traffic would be at a standstill, but no one would honk. The same thing happened on city streets when the light changed.
Cars would sit for a second or two or five, and nobody honked the horn. And I would honk the horn, and then people would look at me like, what's wrong with you?
This Northwest trait of avoiding the horn seemed so odd to Duncan when she first arrived that
I wondered if the cars that are sold here just didn't have car horns in them.
There are lots of examples of just how seriously we take our no-honking ethic. During Occupy Seattle protests, some drivers were ticketed for beeping their support. Recently, the state Supreme Court ruled in a case in which a woman was sentenced for excessive horn honking in her neighborhood.
It was a crime where you spend a year in the county jail.
Attorney John Tollefson, who successfully argued to overturn the conviction, was dumbfounded prosecutors had pursued the case in the first place. So why are we so beeping averse? Seattle University social scientist Kathleen Cook has a theory. She says it could be that our experience with traffic congestion is more recent, whereas East Coast or Midwest cities were already crowded when the car came along. We had lots of space, no real need to honk.
And so it's just not part of our repertoire when it comes to driving.
And now that we've become more like other places, why hasn't the horn honking followed? Because, she says, we'd already developed a certain way of doing things even when we do honk.
Instead of, you know, like you get like in Chicago or something, here you get a little, they want to let you know the light has changed, but they don't want to, you know, they don't want to be rude.
She says it's part of a whole set of driving social rules here.
You know, we get miffed if someone doesn't give us the friendly wave after we've let them in.
This over-the-top politeness drives some newcomers crazy, some even calling it wrongly, according to psychologists, passive-aggressive behavior. But Alex Suarez says we should embrace the lack of noise. She heads the clinical psychology program at Antioch University in Seattle. She grew up in Mexico City and lived next to one of the busiest traffic circles in the world.
And one time I counted how many times people would blow their horn, and it was over 150 times in 5 minutes.
It was awful.
We couldn't open our windows because we couldn't hear each other talk.
She says we should see it as a cautionary tale. To illustrate, she uses the word arrostia.
Now, how do you spell that?
A-R-R.
She describes it as a sort of evolutionary one-upsmanship. For example, male peacocks getting showier and showier feathers to attract females until the feathers are so heavy they can't escape the tiger.
And in a way, in an evolutionary way, honking the horn is that kind of thing that might give short-term advantage, and yet in the big picture, it's really bad for our community.
Are we eaten by the tiger then?
We're eaten by the stress.
In other words, be thankful for Seattle's more laid-back driving style.
I'm curious, did you
Pam Duncan, the Tacoma woman we heard from earlier, says that's what she's learned to do.
Occasionally I'll honk the horn and then I'll say, oops, I'm sorry.
Welcome to the club. Paula Whistle, KPLU News.